And I think there's going to be a 4 and 5 class for those who want that out. The rest of you, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 3, which is where we'll be this morning. As we start a new year, of course, we started that at midnight last night. There's always a good thing to remember, and I always love this passage because it reminds us of it, and that is that there's actually something worth pursuing in this new year. But also, it reminds us that in pursuing what God would have us to do in this year, God wants us actually to forget what was behind and to press forward toward what is ahead. And so this passage has always been great. One of the things that has always amazed me about the Scriptures, and one of the reasons I know that it is the Word of God, is because of the simple fact that the Scriptures don't hide the failings of those who are in it. We get to see Moses mess up and murder an Egyptian taskmaster just simply because he was beating a Jew, and Moses thought, well, I'll just lead them out. Today will be the day they'll follow me and they'll rise up and they'll see me as their deliverer. And Moses completely blew it, spent 40 years on the backside of the desert, and yet God actually used him. And so one of the wonderful things about the Scriptures, and I just think of the passage over and over again in Proverbs that says, though a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord will raise him up. And if anyone has walked with God any length of time, you know that part of the process is that it's not just a total blast. It's not the kind of thing to where you're always going to get it right. You're always going to get it perfect. But you actually have these times where you wind up in somewhat of a downhill moment. You have a time where it's not going so great, where you're not exactly growing and getting after it. And it's just wonderful to know that what God calls us to do in those moments, and when we realize, wow, this has not been great. It's not been a great week. It's not been a great month. And even some of you may be coming into 2017 thinking, I can look back on 2016. It wasn't a great year spiritually for me. And the thing is, if we will simply turn from that sin and realize, okay, I realize where I am, and we begin to turn back to God with all of our heart, what God will do is God will actually restore, God will revive our hearts, and God will do just a marvelous thing that will take us from that point forward. Of course, there's always the need of repenting of what is back there in the way of sin, but to just know that God would take us and pick us up again and again and again and again and again is something that is, I believe, in a lot of ways unique to Christianity, in that God provides a perfect sacrifice for our sins, and yet he still understands that in the process of growth, we're going to have those times where it doesn't exactly go so great. And we need to step back and say, you know what, I need to have a different focus, or my heart needs to be warmed, or my life needs to be just kind of drawn closer to God. And so what I wanted to share with you is just this passage out of Philippians 3, beginning actually in verse 10, but we'll jump back to verse 10. It's actually verse 12 through the verse 21. It says, not that I have already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude, and if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself. Now, in 2017, it is my hope and my prayer that God will allow you to hear clearly and follow clearly the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. That's basically the general gist of where we're heading today. How is it that we hear and we walk in the upward call of God that is in Christ Jesus? Well, number one, we need to first have a proper understanding. Paul said, "Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of Christ Jesus." The first thing that Paul basically lets us know is he's not there yet. Now, that's incredible because Paul has probably been walking with Christ now some 30 years. And yet he says, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect. Now, just to help you understand something, that word perfect doesn't mean perfect in that he never sins anymore. That is actually the Greek word teleo, and that word teleo is from teleos, which means to be mature, to have grown to a maturity in Christ. So he's saying, not that I've already obtained it, in other words, not that I've already arrived, or even that I have reached that point of that spiritual maturity that I should be at, you know, and it's constantly something that's ahead of us, okay? When you turn 10, you want to be 11, right? When you turn 11, you eventually want to be 12. When you turn 12, you want to be 13. When you get into your 20s, you want to be 22. You know, even when you get older and you get into your 50s, you still would like to, at 50, make it to 51, okay? And so even though we are at a point where there should be a certain level of maturity by our age in Christ, yet we're not there. Because until He takes us home, we will never be at that point where it's always to move ahead in our relationship with Christ, always to move ahead in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so Paul says, look, I haven't obtained it. I haven't become perfect. And what is he talking about when he says obtained it? And he says, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was also laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So what exactly is Paul seeking after in this? Well, that's why we need to go back to chapter 3, verse 10. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship in His sufferings, being conformed to His death, so in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Paul had a threefold drive in his life. And it is these three things, saints, that we need to strive toward if we are going to become spiritually mature. First, he wanted to know Jesus in His resurrection. That word and that whole idea of knowing Christ and the power of His resurrection refers to the power of a changed and a transformed life. It is in Romans 6 that we find out that we were raised in Christ Jesus. We are identified with Jesus in His death. When He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. And that's how death was destroyed. But it says, when He was raised, we were also raised to walk in a brand new life, in a newness of life. And so if we are pressing on and longing to know Christ in the power of His resurrection, we are wanting to know the resurrection power by which we actually can have victory over sin in our lives. And that is something we need to press on in. That is something we need to move forward in. The second thing he says, he wanted to know Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. And this speaks of a willing identification with Jesus Christ, where we are willing to be rejected by the world, especially the world of those who are holding to a false view of religion, okay? And thinking that religion is all about us attaining certain levels and getting to the point where we're just really proud of our spirituality, and I've accomplished this, and I've accomplished this, and I've done this, and I've done this. And that's just a false spirituality. And what will happen is when people truly come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and find out that they're liberated, find out that they're free, find out that their righteousness is not their own religious attainments, it is given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ, we will experience a persecution from those who follow the whole idea that, no, 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 my religion is that I've accomplished, I've read the Bible through, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, I've done this, and that becomes their whole idea of their spirituality instead of a relationship, an intimate relationship with Jesus. And so we are willing to fellowship with his sufferings where we are rejected by the world, especially, like I said, the false religious world. We will walk with Jesus no matter what the cost and are willing to be persecuted, as it says in Matthew 5, for doing what is right or for the sake of righteousness. And we are willing to be persecuted because we identify with Jesus Christ and who he is and what he has taught. Saints, when we identify with the real Jesus who said, you know, listen, I am the way, the truth, life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And suddenly we begin preaching an exclusive gospel. In other words, that salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. It's not found in Jesus and in Buddha and in Muhammad and in all these other ways. Jesus didn't give us that option. He said salvation is in himself and himself alone. When we begin preaching the righteousness of the Scriptures and what the Bible says is godliness and what is righteousness, we are going to find ourselves more and more and more. We already do. We find ourselves at odds with this world. And so Paul said, look, my desire to grow into the fullness of Christ is, one, to know Jesus and his resurrection so that there is this ongoing and growing victory over sin in my life. So that when sin attacks, when I face the desires and the longings of my body and the desires and longings of this world telling me what I should want, I'm able to say no. And I don't say no by my own willpower, I say no by the power of the cross by which I died to that sin. That sin is dead to me because I was buried with Christ, and I have a brand new power and a brand new life by which I choose righteousness, and that is the life that God gave me in Jesus. And so we know him in the power of his resurrection. We're willing to fellowship in his sufferings. And then finally, we are willing to be conformed unto his death, which speaks of a surrender and a submission to God for a life of total, complete obedience. Just as Jesus surrendered his rights to God and surrendered his rights even of being God to God, walked out in obedience to God on this earth, even to the point of death and death on a cross, so we are also willing to say, I will lay down my rights and I will walk in a way that will honor God and I will walk in a way that will please God. And you know what? It's not about me having my own rights. We're going to look at this in a little bit. It's not about me even saying that the purpose of God is to make me happy and to make me content and to make me, you know, just enjoy this world. Listen, the purpose that we have in Christ is to be conformed to God's will. Even if that means we go through periods where we're not happy according to the definition of the world. We can be joyful in Christ. We can be joyful in persecution. We can be joyful in denying ourselves. We can be joyful in knowing that we're walking out God's will. And so Paul said, this is the process of spiritual maturity. Note in that, you know, the whole idea of the health and welfare the prosperity and the health and the wealth kind of mentality. Listen, saints, that's not in there. I want to know Christ in an ongoing victory over sin. I want to know Christ in a willingness to be persecuted with him and persecuted for what he says is righteousness and holiness. And I'm willing to give myself in a complete dedication unto him, even to the point of death. Because that is what it is about. That is why we were saved, so that our purpose could actually be realized. Because as long as our lives were our own, being lived for what we wanted, it wasn't being realized. It is only in redemption that we are redeemed, not so that we can just become happy all the time, but we are redeemed so that we find our joy in what brings God joy. And here's the really crazy thing. As we are conformed to that, we will actually find joy in it, and there will be a happiness, but it will not be a happiness rooted in us getting what we want, but it will be a happiness and a joy rooted in living for what God intended for us to live for and to desire in the first place. So Paul's saying, look, I'm not there yet, okay? I want to have these things. I want to know Christ in his resurrection. I want to know Christ in his sufferings. I want to know Christ in a complete obedience to the point of death. But he said, I am not there yet. That's what he's saying in verse 12. Not that I've already obtained it or already become perfect, but again, we come back to this whole idea of a proper understanding, and that proper understanding is, I press on, Paul said. You see, his attitude is here, the idea of pressing on, a word speaks of an energetic and aggressive pursuit of God, an aggressive pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come into 2017, and even as I looked at this passage, it kind of got me at times, because I can't say at times, there were times in 2016 where I can actually say, no, it was not an energetic, aggressive pursuit of the Lord. I just kind of sat back and kind of got comfortable. I sat back and kind of got content. Not in the things of God, but just content in just a decent life lived here on earth. The American dream, to whatever level that we're experiencing the American dream. And saints, what God has called us to, and I will just tell you this, as a Christian, you won't really have lasting joy until your life is primarily an aggressive, joyful, energetic pursuit of Christ. So he said, I want to press on into that kind of pursuit of the Lord. It says, I press on that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. What a marvelous phrase that Paul uses there. He says, I press on to lay hold of Christ. In other words, he's saying, I am moving ahead, I am striving, I am exercising, exerting energy, I'm getting after it, I have a desire, I have a longing, I'm pushing myself towards something. But he said, the only thing I'm pushing myself toward, the only thing I'm trying to lay hold of is that for which Jesus actually first laid hold of me. And so the picture here is that God, by his grace, reached down and saved us and laid hold of us, changed us, saved us, gave us power by which we could overcome sin, power by which we could seek his face. But then, here's the thing, as he laid hold of us, he called us to follow him and lay hold of him as well. I want you to know that too often people buy a misuse of a phrase called let go and let God. Because you see, the scripture, there's a balance. And the balance in scripture is that we are called to a total dependence on God, and yet we ought to have a total effort in pursuing God. It is both, saints. Too often when people say let go and let God, they just let go. And they think God's just going to do it all. And what happens is after a while, they're just kind of like, well, this let go and let God stuff doesn't work. Of course it doesn't work. Because the message of the scripture is not let go and let God. The scripture is let go and let God. And then as God lays hold of you, get after it. Labor, work, strive, press on. Listen, saints, it is fascinating when you take a look at this. Colossians 1:29 says this, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. Do you see that it is a both and? Paul talks about a power that is working within him, but that power will not be activated until Paul labors in Christ. But when he labors in Christ, there is a power that enables his labor to become effective and that which would glorify God. That passage doesn't say there's a power that is at work within me, and so when I just release and say, okay, it's just going to happen, it just happens. Saints, that's not there. The word labor is used. Paul said he labors. That word means to toil and to work to the point of weariness. You see, when we talk about our relationship with God, too often, and I go through this, you kind of wait for God to kind of like, okay, God, just bring some stuff into my life and show me what to do. And so we wait, and we wait, and we wait, and sometimes we can wait a long time. But you know what's really interesting? In the meantime, he said, love one another. Guys, he said to love your wives. Ladies, he said to love your husbands. Kids, he said, obey your parents. Well, that could take some effort. That can take some things that we have to do. It's fascinating when you look at Scripture and you realize, listen, give yourself to what God shows you in His Word. If you read something in the Word, here's my advice. Do it. And just put your effort toward doing what it is you've seen in the Word. And as you labor toward doing what it is that you see in the Word, call out to God and say, God, I want to do this. I saw it in your Word. I believe this is how you're directing me because you direct me through your Word. So God, empower me to do what it is I see going on in your Word. And then honestly, just get out there. And you know, Nike didn't come up with this. Just do it. Just do it. Give yourself to that task. And what you will find, I believe, and I've actually seen it in my own life, you will find that your spiritual life will begin taking steps as you're willing to step out and actually do some things that God's leading you to do. Now, here's what's cool. As you go along in that, also God will direct you with some really cool directions that He gives in your life. But I want you to know this. Paul wasn't just sitting in a port somewhere going, gosh, I wish we could do missionary work. And then God said, go to Greece. No, Paul was already endeavoring to do that missions work. He was already out there pressing on, and he thought, I'm going to go into Asia Minor, and yet the Spirit of Jesus forbade him. And then he thought, well, then I'm going to go here. And then it happened again to where it was like, no, this is not my direction. And so he was asleep one night, and there was a man from the area of Greece that said, come help us. And he discerned, that's where I'm supposed to go. And the gospel took off in that direction. But know this, saints, it wasn't Paul just sitting around going, man, I just wish something spiritual would happen in my life. And I figure if I'll just yield to God, then it'll happen. Saints, yield to God and begin doing the things that you see in His Word. Right? I mean, I'll say this. If you haven't been doing it in 2016, have a daily time where you're getting in God's Word. You can call it a quiet time. If you want to read out loud, you can call it a loud time. You can do anything you want with it. Just get in God's Word. And then as you begin to experience God's Word, take a small journal, take a piece of paper, and write down verses that the Spirit of God just seems to speak to you through in the Word, and then write out, well, maybe I need to do this, maybe I need to do this, and then start giving yourself to that kind of activity, and you'll be blown away at what God would do in your life in this coming year. But I see, I think too many of us, and myself as well, we're not heeding where Paul said, press on. I press on. And I want to lay hold of that for which Christ laid hold of me. You see, it's got to be a both and, saints. If it's an either or, you're really going to probably fall into either it's just all your effort and you're not really even looking to God, or you're just going to sit around waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting until you think something spiritual enough has happened, you know? Kind of where you hear the, you know, you open the Bible and it's like, woo, you know, and you just say, oh, well, that must be God. No, listen, open this book and read it. It is God. When you read this book, God is speaking. And we're all just kind of waiting for something before we step into what God wants us to do. And I believe there's so much blessing for us, saints, if we would just step into it and just do it. So the first thing is a proper understanding of how it works. Second thing is a proper pursuit. Verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I love it. Paul says it twice. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. He hasn't quite laid hold of the fullness of what Christ laid hold of him for. And saints, we're going to be pursuing that our whole lives. Now, there's a false doctrine out there, saints, of sinless perfection. That basically you can get spiritual enough to where God will remove your sin nature and you just won't even sin anymore. And I want you to know that's not scriptural. All you have to do is go to 1 John and it talks about those who say they no longer sin, and he said that they're deceiving themselves. Saints, and it's not that I want you to sin, it's just Paul is even saying here, 30 years of following Christ, I've not laid hold of it yet. I've not gotten the fullness of it yet. He is pressing on to maturity, pressing on to grow, pressing on to mature in his relationship with Christ. And he said, so I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. And then I love this, but he says, but one thing I do. And that's talking about a single-minded, incredible passion toward going after Christ. It is fascinating when you see that, honestly, some of the most successful people in every endeavor are those who pursue it with a single-minded zeal and a passionate desire to obtain it. And saints, here's what's awesome. You know, I could say, I want to become a great chef. I'm probably not going to be a great chef, okay? Or I would definitely say this. I could say, you know what my goal is? I'm going to turn 56 this year. I'm going to win the 100-meter dash at the next Olympics. And I'm going to go after it with a single-minded pursuit. And I will not even qualify. There are certain things we just can't do. You know, Pastor James. You know, Pastor James decides, I'm going to be an offensive lineman for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to get pumped. I'm going to get stoked. I'm going to get studly. And I'm going to try out. But you know what? I don't think you'll make it. Sorry, brother. Love you. There are certain things we're just not going to accomplish. There are people who say, I want to be a great singer. And then you hear them and you're like, oh, wow. You need to be on the first night of American Idol. You know, where you just kind of go, somebody needed to tell them a long time ago they can't sing very good. And it's fascinating that there are all these things that actually, you know, people say you can be anything you want. That's really not true. Do you realize that? That's not true. Somebody tells you, you can be anything you want. Listen, you can be exactly who God intended you to be. In whatever field it is that God intends for you to pursue life. But to tell somebody you can be anything you want, I understand that you're trying to kind of say, hey, go for it. What I would rather tell them is, hey, whatever God has for you, you can absolutely be that. And you can be awesome in what God desires you to accomplish. But saints, Paul said, one thing I do. And here's the exciting part. You know what? You know what? The one thing that we all can do, and that is pursue Christ with an energetic, passionate desire to know Him and love Him. Nobody's restrained from that. Because you see, it's a relationship with Him that He would encourage you in as you grow, and He has a purpose for you. Yeah, you may be a 10-talent guy, you may be, or a 5-talent guy, or a 3-talent guy, or a 1-talent guy. It's okay, because what Christ didn't rebuke the 3-talent guy for not getting 5 more. He said, man, you got 3 more. Awesome. He said to the guy that had 5, you got 5 more. Awesome. The guy who had 1 and said, well, I can't do anything. I just got 1. Dug and hid the money and then gave it back to him when it was all over. Listen, what he rebuked him for was not taking what God gave him and using it for God's glory. And so you may not have all the talents or abilities of someone else. But you need to understand, moving into 2017, you can pursue Christ with a single-minded passion. And you can know Him. And at the end of this year, you can know Him better than you've ever known Him before. Guys, I remember meeting with a group of high school guys. We were in the summer one year. And I said, we're going to read the New Testament once a month. And they just looked at me like, you're crazy. We can't read the New Testament a month. I said, yes, you can. So we're going to read 8 chapters a day and you'll finish it in a month. And so the guys were like, you ready to do that challenge? And they're like, yeah, I guess so. And so we did it and we jumped into it. And here's what was cool. Not a single one of them failed the challenge. And that first month, they were so stoked. They were running into all kinds of things they had never seen before in the Scriptures. We'd get together and they'd just be like, you know, and usually a D group was like, please, somebody say something. Please, anything. You know, just criticize me, just somebody speak, you know. Ever been at those group meetings? Anything, you know, insult me, just somebody talk. And I'm telling you, for that whole month, it was just like chatter, chatter, chatter. They were just talking about, hey, this is awesome. I saw this. I didn't even have to talk for a whole month. It was awesome. And what happened was they set themselves on a pursuit to know God by reading the New Testament in just a month. And what was amazing is all three guys, different educational levels, and yet they all experienced exactly what God had for them. And saints, what I want to hopefully encourage you with and exhort you toward is you can follow Christ with a single-hearted passion. What it takes is just you simply saying, you know what, with the gifts I have, with what God's given me, I will pursue Him with all my heart. That's what it takes. What it actually takes is laying down the other stuff and saying, you know what, I'm going to love Christ first, foremost, and absolute in this coming year. And not allow my heart to get drawn aside into other things that just kind of waste my life away. Paul said that he pressed on. One thing he did, he said, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. And here's the thing, saints, if we're going to do this, one thing you're going to have to do is forget. Whether it is a success or a failure, you have to learn to forget what is behind. And here's why. There are those whose past is a constant ball and chain. And they see their past as a reason to be bitter over sins and slights of others. There are those who see their past as a ball and chain because all they see is, you know what, I can't really press toward that. I failed last time. Yeah, I tried this about last year about this time. And you know what? Didn't work then. Probably not going to work now. And I'm telling you, you have to forget what is behind you. And you've got to put it in the past and you got to leave it there. Okay? You know, as Pumbaa said, you have to put your behind in your past. Okay? You have to put it behind you and forget it. If God brings it up for the purpose of repentance, if God brings it up for the purpose of going to somebody and making something right or seeking forgiveness or encouraging somebody, that's fine. But otherwise, leave it back there. And here's the other problem. You have some who have a ball and chain of their failures and their slights and their bitternesses and what people have done. And by the way, they've done terrible things. I'm not saying they haven't. I'm just saying dwelling on it is not going to help you. It's going to cripple you. But there are others who are crippled by their successes because they only survive by reliving their former glory in their past spiritual successes and are so full of pride and so full of kind of that sense of achievement in what they did back here that they never look out here that God has more. This can also turn to pride. Saints, we've got to leave it behind. Paul said, brethren, I forget what lies behind. And he says, I reach forward to what lies ahead. That word forget means to forget, but then that reaching forward, it means to flex forward. It is a Greek word that means to reach forward, to stretch with every muscle to its maximum gain to get to the finish line. Listen, when guys run the 100-yard dash, I wish Matt Vining was here today. They're probably exhausted. They drove all the way from North Carolina yesterday all day. But I want you to know this. Matt will tell you this. When you run the 100-yard dash, you know what the worst thing you can ever do? You're running, and you look to see where somebody else is. And he will tell you more guys have been beaten in the 100-yard dash because of that one issue. They want to find out where somebody else is. You know what Scripture says? When we measure ourselves against ourselves, we deceive ourselves. You're not going to run any faster or any better by looking over to see where somebody else is. You run well when you keep your eyes focused on the goal. You run well when you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Listen, what that guy that runs a 100-yard dash, whether he's going to be first or last, what he should have is that idea of, I'm in my lane, I'm going to run with everything I've got, and when I get close to that finish line, they do that stretch. Where they stretch everything they got. Even guys go to the point of just almost falling and just toppling over at the finish line because they're stretching in that way. And that's what Paul is saying. Look, I forget what's behind, whether good or bad, and I am straining toward the goal. I am putting all of my effort toward that goal. Everything I am is stretching and straining and getting toward that goal. And what is that goal? I love it. I press toward the goal for the prize. So The goal is like that race that we finish, but it's the prize. And what is the prize? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, we press on. The word press on means to bear down on something, to focus all your strength, your concentration on it. And they were bearing down on the idea of the prize, and that prize was this, to hear God's upward call toward Himself. Saints, listen, we are called by Christ to know Him. We are called into a relationship with Him. We are called one day that we will experience heaven where we will be with Him for all eternity. And we are looking for that prize. We are looking for that goal, to know Jesus better in this year, to better reflect who Christ is in our character, in our attitudes, and our actions, to better reflect Him as a husband, to better reflect Him as a wife, to better reflect Him as a child, to better reflect Him as an employee, as an employer, to better reflect Him as a neighbor, and to say, God, that is my goal. I want to know You, and I want Your character and who You are to more shine through me, because that is the goal. That is the prize, that I would have that upward call of God and that people would see more and more of the Lord Jesus Christ in and through me. Next thing Paul talks about is having proper attitude. It says, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal this to you, to you also. That's a beautiful verse. He says, let us have this attitude of pressing on to knowing Christ, of knowing Him in His resurrection, knowing Him in His sufferings, knowing Him being conformed unto His death. And that is what we need to move on toward. But it says, but if you have any other attitude, meaning you have something else that you're focused on, what God said is, look, God will make that known to you. And saints, one of the things we got to be careful about in pressing on toward Christ is looking at how somebody else is doing it and deciding that we are more focused on trying to correct what they're doing than we are on ourselves pressing forward in that way. And it's real easy to do. It's real easy to decide, you know, I seem to be getting on with God, but so-and-so, you know. Oh, I just wish they'd, you know, I wish they'd get this. And saints, there's places for correction, but it's fascinating that Paul says, therefore, let us, many of us that as are perfect, in other words, if we're maturing, we have this attitude. But what he's basically saying, and if in anything you have a different attitude, he's saying there are those that are going to be immature. There are those who are just younger in Christ, or they're not doing all that great in Christ. And what we've got to realize is we need to eventually realize God is the one that's going to make that known to them. He may use us to issue a word of encouragement, word of exhortation, a word of correction. But please understand that your goal needs to be you walking with God, you pressing on, not examining how everybody else is pressing on and deciding you're going to comment on it. By the way, he says, let's just keep moving on toward that, or keep living. That word means to line up, follow in line. So basically, Paul is saying here, let's keep following after Christ, keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Next thing we need, saints, is in this, is sometimes it's really good to have a proper example. Look at verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example, and observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. And so there are those who are following Christ. Listen, saints, follow along with them. That's what's so awesome about the body of Christ. Are you struggling? Find some brothers that maybe have victory in that area. Find some brothers that would pray with you. Find some brothers that would encourage you and help you walk in that way. Ladies, are you struggling? Find a lady to pray with. Find a lady that would encourage you. Listen, the scriptural pattern is, younger ladies, look to an older lady. You say, well, they're not asking me to be with them. Then you go ask them. Seek them out. Listen, when I was a young Christian, I didn't wait for somebody to ask me to do stuff. I found somebody that I thought was godly, who was J.D. Rector. And I went up to J.D. Rector, and I was just kind of like, hey, J.D., would you help me grow? Yeah. And he loved it. And so we did that together. And you know what? If you're struggling, my word, find an older brother. Find an older sister. Find a brother, sister that's your age. But say, let's pray together. Let's try to move ahead together. And so Paul said, look, joined by following my example, observe those who walk according to the pattern that you have in us. In other words, that pattern of pursuing Christ. And of course, then he reminds us that there are those that follow the negative pattern. For many walk, Paul said, of whom I told you and am now telling you, even weeping. Paul's broken about this. He says they're enemies of the cross of Christ. They don't follow the cross of Christ as far as salvation, and they also don't follow the cross of Christ as far as a way of growing in our relationship with Christ. Everything has to be positive or good. And by the way, the cross is positive and good, but it does it in a means where it puts us to death. And we experience that crucifixion of our own desires and our own wants that are contrary to God's. And so people wind up being the enemies of the cross of Christ. It says their end is destruction. You want to know where they're going? They're going to be destroyed. Here in this life, by their own pursuits. And eventually, if they don't come to know Christ, they're going to be completely destroyed in that day. It says their God is their appetite. They live for their sensual desires. They live for their belly. And it says, actually, the actual term for appetite there is whose God is their belly. And it's talking about the visceral region, the stomach region, the area of us that literally can just kind of call our name when we get really hungry. It's like, I'm hungry, you know, feed me now. And those desires, but it also entertained and held the entire gamut of the desires and the sensual desires that overcome us. And so it says their end is destruction, their enemies of the cross of Christ, their God is their appetite, and it says their glory is in their shame. In other words, it gets to the point to where they love sin so much that they glory in sin rather than in Christ. They glory in sin rather than in righteousness. They glory in wickedness rather than in holiness. And they celebrate wickedness. And saints, we are in a time where this is growing in our culture and growing in our society. Those of us who hold to a biblical righteousness are going to find ourselves more and more on the outside kind of looking in. Because the in our culture right now is to glory in shame and things God calls sin and wickedness. By the way, it says they set their minds on earthly things. So if you want to know honestly what it's all about, they're all about earthly things. They live for the earthly. Finally, we need to have a proper expectation if we're going to live this way. I love it. Verse 20, our citizenship is in heaven. You want to know where our citizenship is, saints? I mean, we just went through an election, right? And a lot of us would hold, no, my citizenship is in America. No, listen, man, I live in America. I have all the proper things that I can do to where I can vote in America and I can be involved in American politics and things like that. But listen, my citizenship is in heaven. I want to be like Abraham, who looked for a city whose founder and whose architect was God. Not even the greatest architects of earth can't touch what God has built and has done and ways in which he wants to be an architect, not just for a living place, but for my life itself. So our citizenship is in heaven, and it says, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I love it. We live knowing that our citizenship is in heaven, knowing this, that Christ who came and who rose and who ascended into heaven is coming again in the clouds with power and with great glory. And he will come again, and we look forward to that day. We long for that day. How does that help us in our pursuit? Well, listen, we are already pursuing Christ. And so understanding our true citizenship and waiting for Christ just keeps us that focused on him. Because, saints, I will tell you, in the last days, and by the way, if you want to know, next week is when I'm going to do the prophecy update. Prophecy news update is actually next week. It's just going to be 1 week. There are some funky things that are going to happen in our world. And there are some things that are happening in our world. And let me tell you, the more it's drawing toward the return of Christ, it's going to get crazier. And you are going to find yourself so easily drawn away from focusing on Christ because it's going to get so crazy and it's going to get so wild in this world. And saints, the best way to do that and to keep that properly focused, proper focus, realize where your citizenship is, it's heaven. Realize what you're waiting for, the Lord Jesus Christ, and realize what you're waiting for, because verse 21 says, He will transform the body of our humble state in conformity with the body of His glory. You know what we're waiting for, saints? We're waiting for the glorification of our bodies. At the moment of our salvation, the Scripture tells us we were justified. We were declared righteous as a gift of God's grace. We didn't do anything, and we will never be able to do anything to have a righteous standing before God. It was given to us by God as a gift of His grace. We were given the righteousness of Jesus. That's how we can stand before God. Now as we live in this life, we are in this process of sanctification, this process of setting our focus on Christ, this process of knowing Him more, knowing His sufferings, knowing His victory over sin, knowing a submission to Him that says everything, God. And that's in process. And sometimes we're doing great, sometimes we're not doing so great. But the one difficulty that we face over and over again is our desires and this world that is in the power of the evil one, and we find ourselves tormented at times by the evil of the world. We find ourselves facing the difficulty of even wrestling with our own desires, and what we are waiting for is this. I know I'm a citizen of heaven. I know Christ is coming back, and oh, what I long for is this. He's going to take the body of this humble estate that battles and struggles with sin. He's going to take the body of this humble estate that fights and sometimes just flat out loses. There are days where I just think to myself, man, pull it together. Or there are days where I think, how could that have gone through my mind? Or there are days where I think, how could I have lived that selfishly? And you go through those moments of that guilt and just the struggle and the battle. You need to know there is going to be a day when He returns, when the body of your humble estate that you're in now will be gloriously transformed to where you don't even have the desire to sin. You will be glorified, and any longing or desire from sin is gone. By the way, you'll also be either translated into heaven or dead. But oh, what a glorious moment that we don't even battle with it anymore. Do you realize that when you're in heaven, you're not going to be up in heaven going, oh, should I eat this? Oh, should I do this? No. You'll be glorified. You'll be in a glorified body that doesn't go for those things. You'll have a glorified mind and a glorified mindset. And what you will do in heaven is you will delight in the things of God. To an extent that you couldn't even dream of here on this earth. What do we wait for? Listen, saints, my citizenship is from heaven. I'm waiting for my Savior. And what am I waiting for? Oh, the day where He takes that sin nature and it's gone. And I am glorified. Given a glorified body. Given a glorified mind. Given a spirit that no longer has to wrestle with sin. Listen, saints, what God wants to call us to in this year, and believe me, there are times, there are aspects of 2016, just like you, that I'm just kind of like, yeah, I could go without that in 2017. There are aspects of it where I'm just kind of like, yeah, that's a week that I kind of wish I could have gotten back so that I could have been a little more focused, a little more set on seeking spiritual things. You know, that was a time where I felt my heart was getting a little cold. That was a time where I found myself just kind of sinking into some self-satisfaction instead of finding my satisfaction in Christ and glorying in Him. But I want you to know what God offers you in this new year is an opportunity to say, you know what, the past, I'll put it in the past. There's a need for repentance, God will lead me into that. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to press on. knowing that God will grant me strength, I'm going to press on in His strength to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to stay focused on Him. I'm going to seek Him with all of my heart. I'm going to passionately pursue Him. I'm going to start to get involved in the things that He just reveals to me in the Scriptures. If nothing else, maybe just to share it with somebody who could use a little encouragement from the Word. Oh, saints, I pray that 2017 is a great year for you. And I can actually say this. I believe it's God's intent for you to have an awesome year. Just listen to Him. Just listen to Him and follow Him and do what He says. It will be an incredible year. But it will only be that incredible year as you hear the upward call. Not all the voices that are here calling you from this earth and into the things of this earth. May God give us grace. Amen. May God give us strength. May God glorify His great name in and through all of us. And may we, with every ounce of our strength, follow Jesus in this upcoming year. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You.